Thanks, Tim. Good morning, everyone. Oh, thanks. There's a few there. Good morning, everyone. Yay. Good morning if you're joining us at home as well. I have actually got a story that I'm going to share at the beginning today. And I just want to tell you a little story from when I was a lot younger. This took place when I was in year 7 of secondary school, so 11 years old. And the story is, now lots of you know from looking at me that I am not particularly tall. I have not inherited any tall genes, unfortunately. And when I was in year 7, we had this one day where we were all sat in the school hall, 1,000 girls. Can't remember what the assembly was about, but we were sat there in the hall. A teacher was talking about something, and for some reason they said that they were interested to know who might be the shortest, the smallest girl in the whole school. And you might have figured it out. Everyone around me, all my friends, Mary Jane, that's you, Mary Jane, that's you. My teachers started going, come on, stand up. I had to stand up in front of the whole school, 1,000 girls, as being the shortest in the whole school. And all of these girls just went, ah, isn't she cute? And from then on, every time I walked through the corridor, all these older girls would just go, oh, isn't she cute? Do you know what? It was the most embarrassing moment of my life. It's a story I remember vividly. Cannot remember what the assembly is about, but I do remember having to stand up as the shortest. And even at secondary school, when we had school photos, we'd be in the field and they'd have one of these big tiered stands. You'd have to go in height order. So, of course, that meant little old me, I was the shortest. I had to then stand in the top left corner of this massive tiered stand because it went from shortest to tallest along. There was one other girl in the years, though, that I think we kind of switched over every now and then. Sometimes she was shorter than me and sometimes it was me, but most of the time it was me. But a little story, do you know, of a memory of mine of being measured up against everybody else in terms of height. And this morning, I want to talk to us about measuring up. In that case, it was physically, but there might be other ways that we measure up. And I want us to really address this whole area of measuring up. And when you look in a dictionary definition of what measuring up means, it says here, measuring up, to compare the qualities of a particular person or thing with those of someone or something else. Another definition says this, to be good enough or as good as someone or something else. You know, measuring up is when we try to reach what others are. We try to reach maybe what others say we should be. We start to put our lives alongside each other, and that might be in a physical sense. My life in terms of height was put alongside the others. But it might be that we put our lives alongside each other in terms of character, in terms of personality. So this morning, my first question is, what or who are you finding that you're trying to measure up to? What or who do you find yourself trying to measure up to? Are you trying to measure up to your work colleagues? Is it school friends? Is it social media that you're trying to measure up to? Is it what the world says you're to be? Maybe you're trying to measure up to words that have been spoken over you by others. Maybe actually you're trying to measure up to something that you've said of yourself. You're trying to measure up to your own standard. I don't know about you, but I know I find myself doing this. I reckon it's something that lots of us find ourselves in, this battle of measuring up to others. And the thing is, when we start to do that, it brings this comparison, doesn't it? And you know, comparison then can, this whole thing can make us feel a sense of failure. We can often find ourselves feeling that we don't measure up. We find ourselves feeling, well, I'm not as good as this person. We end up finding measuring up brings disappointment. It brings jealousy, it brings bitterness, it can cause division, it can cause rivalry. Do you know, measuring up's not a good thing. And it's not what God wants for us. It is not what he wants for us. He does not want us measuring our lives up against each other. Do you know, even in 2 Corinthians, Paul warns against this. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says this. It says, he said, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. This is not a wise thing. This is not a good thing. Do you know it says in God's word that we are fearfully and wonderfully made? Each one of us is precious to him. We are his treasure. Did you know that? You are his treasure. God doesn't want us to be measuring up against each other, but instead he longs for us, each one of us, to be in a relationship with him. He longs for us to discover who we are in him. He wants us to love each other, not be in this place of measuring up. I want to read a verse that I reckon lots of us would be familiar with. Romans, if you've got Bibles, you might want to turn to it. It will come up on the screen. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And it says this, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Wow, that's something, isn't it? Do you know we don't even measure up to God? And we can't. We all fall short of God's standard. Yet, always love those words, yet. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Do you know, because of God's grace, we don't need to try to measure up. We don't need to try to measure up to him. We don't need to try to measure up to each other. We don't need to do that because of God's grace, because of Jesus. Do you know what? Instead, all we have to do, believe in Jesus. We need to believe in Jesus. And the first thing, this is the first thing I want us to grasp this morning about this whole idea of measuring up, is that God is not looking for people who measure up, but he's looking for people who will believe and trust in Jesus. I'm going to say that again. God is not looking for people who measure up, but people who will believe and trust in Jesus. That's the first thing for us to get this morning. And yet, we so often find ourselves in this place, don't we? Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But we often find ourselves in this place of trying to measure up, comparing our lives. In a moment, it can just happen, can't it? Without us realizing. You could be scrolling through Facebook and, oh, bam, there I am measuring up. You can watch something on TV, you measure up, you're out with friends, you measure up. It happens, and I think it's something that we all battle with. And so this morning, what I want us to do is, I've got three thoughts of things that might just help us today, help us to shift from this place of measuring up into a place where God wants us to be. A place from measuring up into where God wants us to be. So my first thing, to try and overcome this battle of measuring up. My first thing is this, stop measuring up and start fixing our eyes up onto Jesus. Stop measuring up and start fixing our eyes up onto Jesus. Do you know, when we measure up to others, our eyes are on them. When we're spending time measuring up to our own standard, our eyes are on us. We need to shift our focus. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's where our eyes need to be. Fix our eyes on Jesus. I want to read some verses from, Hebrews. Lots of jumping around today if you've got Bibles, so I hope you keep up. Hebrews chapter 12 has these great verses. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And this is the bit. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. What an amazing verse. We've got a note here. It doesn't say here, run your race. You're going to do this by keeping your eyes on everyone else around you. It doesn't say here, run your race and you're going to do this by trying to measure up to everybody else. You've got to keep your eyes on everybody else and you've got to measure up to them. That's not what you're saying. We're to run the race that God has set for us by keeping our eyes on Jesus. It says here too that he initiates and perfects our faith. In other versions, it says that he's the author. He's the author of our faith. Jesus is the one that begins our faith and he completes our faith. Do you know it also says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, it says this, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. It is in Jesus that we will become complete, not by measuring up against everybody else around us, not by comparing ourselves to everybody else. That is not going to make us complete. It is Jesus that makes us complete. He is the one that's going to give us life to the full. He said that, didn't he? I have come that you may have life and life to the full. Do you know, we are invited into a relationship with Jesus. Jesus described himself as the vine, that great passage in John. And he talks about him being the vine and we're the branches. And in that passage, he says that we are to abide in him. We're to remain in him. That means we need to stick close to him. So this morning I'm saying if we want to overcome this battle of measuring up with others, we need to stick close to Jesus. We need to abide in him. We need to remain in him. We need to stick close to him. You know, I'm sure many of us will find when you hang out with someone for a long time and you spend a lot of time together, you rub off on each other, don't you? You find yourselves saying the same things as each other. You pick up each other's phrases. You pick up each other's behaviors, the things that they do. Well, you know, we've got to be like that with Jesus. We want to stick close to him, hang out with him, spend time with him so that he rubs off on us. So that we then behave the way that he behaves and we think then the way that he thinks. I always love that verse in Romans 12 where it says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We need to change the way we think, and we can only do that by sticking close with Jesus. We can only do that by fixing our eyes on him. So the first thing, keep your eyes fixed up. Keep your eyes fixed up onto Jesus. Okay, the second thing, stop measuring up and start soaking up the word of God. Stop measuring up and start soaking up the word of God. This here, it's what's going to help us in this area of measuring up. It's in here that we will find the truth of who God says we are, the truth of who we are in Christ. You know, when we're measuring up, we're trying to measure up to like, what others say, what the world says, what the past says, what we say. Whereas actually, do you know what matters is what God says. That's the only voice that matters here. What does he say? God wants us to discover who he says we are. And we can find it all in here. Do you know in here it tells me that I am a child of God? That's what he says of you. Do you know that? It says in here, I'm free. It says I am forgiven. It says, I am accepted. It says, I am chosen. I am significant. I am loved. And I'm sure you could keep going with the list. That is what he says about you and me. And we are all those things because of Jesus. Do you know, I don't know about you, but when I spend time reading the word, sometimes it feels like I'm having like a big, long drink. You know when you just have a drink and you're so thirsty and it's really refreshing? I feel like I'm literally taking that drink and it's giving me life. In Psalm 119, there's lots of references to God's word in there. I'm not going to read the psalm. It's the longest psalm, so don't panic. I'm not going to read it. It's too long. But go and have a look. There's so many verses in there that describes what his word does. It says that it revives us. His word encourages us. His word stands firm. It gives life. It says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. It says that his words are sweet like honey. Talks about having his word hidden in our hearts. I love that verse. Do you know, this is the best thing that you can be reading. Sometimes the problem when we're measuring up is that we're reading the wrong thing, and we read things that actually just feed that comparison. We need to be reading this. You know, I came across a new term a few weeks ago of how to make a cup of tea. I don't know if we've got any tea drinkers. Any tea drinkers? I'm an avid tea drinker. I still can't quite keep up with my dad. He drinks far too much tea. I can't keep up with him. But, you know, I've heard often, you know, you talk about brewing your cup of tea. But a few weeks ago, I heard about the term steeping a tea bag. I don't know, I'd never heard this before. Has anybody ever heard of this term before? Steeping. Also, a few people. I'm glad that some people are maybe with me. I hadn't heard about this before, about steeping a tea bag. And in order to make a good cup of tea, you need to steep your tea bag. And in terms of what that means, I'm going to read a few things out. So it means steeping. You must let the water get into the bag so that what is in the bag can flavor the water. In its most basic terms, basically it's soaking. You've got to soak the tea bag in the liquid. To soak in a liquid so that you extract the essence by soaking. You need to steep the tea bag. Now I am with you in there. You can't do a dip in and out. Okay, that's not a cup of tea. I can see a few people shaking their heads at me. Okay, a dip in and out, there's no time for soaking. There's no steeping. Nothing is going to come out of that bag into that water. It's not going to happen. You're not going to extract anything. You've got to let that tea bag steep. Now, I did have a little look. There are certain times, there's quite a science about this, about certain types of tea and how long you should steep it for, but I haven't got a clue what they are. However, I love this little picture because, you know, in the same way, we need to be steeped in God's word. We need to be steeped in God's word. This means we've got to soak up his word. No just dip in and out. We've just said that with a tea bag. You dip in and out, doesn't even touch the water. You're not going to get anything. In the same way, you can't just dip in and out of God's word. There's no time then for it to soak. We're not going to extract anything. We've got to steep in his word. That means we've got to sit. We've got to read it. We've got to allow it to just soak into our hearts. If we're steeped in his word, we're going to be like that water that washes in, grabs it all, and that water is changed. Our lives will become changed. We will then extract the essence of God into our lives. That's where our lives will become transformed. We'll be able to extract the truth of his word. We'll be able to extract his goodness so that it permeates in our lives. So that the word becomes, like David said in the Psalms, hidden in my heart. That's how I'm going to get this hidden in my heart. I need to be steeped in God's word. I've got to be soaking up his word. And if I do that, then when I'm in those moments where I find myself trying to measure up, I can grab hold of this. And I can go, no, I know. I know what he says. I know what it says in here. So our second thing, to soak up the word of God. And our third and final thing, stop measuring up and start being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Stop measuring up and start being filled up with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Let me just find it. Verse 25 says this, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Do you know, in the NIV version, it says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we're living by the Spirit, we've got to be living by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, in step with the Spirit. Early in verse 16, in this same chapter, it says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Do you know we have the gift of the Holy Spirit? We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, leading us, enabling us to be who God wants to be. It's by the Holy Spirit that I can overcome having to measure up to others. We are to be led and filled by the Holy Spirit. You know, when we are led by the Holy Spirit, then what appears in our lives is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, that's what will appear when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we're being led by the Holy Spirit. If I want the fruit of love, joy, and peace, I need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You know, when we measure up to each other's, we talked earlier, didn't we, that actually the fruit of that's not love, joy, peace. The fruit of measuring up is jealousy and bitterness, comparison, disappointment, feeling of failure. We want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Another verse in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. This great verse says this, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Do you know, I love, Tim, that you opened this morning. We're just talking about freedom and being free, which is exactly what this is about. The Holy Spirit brings us freedom. The Holy Spirit brings us freedom for so many things. But this morning in particular, I want us to just think about how the Holy Spirit can bring us freedom from having to measure up, having to feel like we have to measure up. Do you know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, so Christ has truly set us free. Do you know, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes a lot here about freedom in Christ and living by the Spirit. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but you might want to go away and have a look at it. I'm going to read a couple of other verses of what it says in here. Verses 13 to 15 in chapter 5 says this, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Do you know what I think is that when we measure up and we compare, that's what we're at risk of doing, destroying one another. We're actually called to love your neighbor and to live in freedom. Love is the first fruit. If we're led by the Spirit, we will be led into freedom by the Holy Spirit. We will be able to love one another rather than measure up to one another instead, which just causes the jealousy and the bitterness. So, you know, we need to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. We need to daily invite the Holy Spirit to come and live in us, to dwell in us. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to fill us, guide us, lead us. It's the Holy Spirit at work within us that will bring us freedom from measuring up. It's the Holy Spirit at work within us that will enable us to love each other rather than measure up against each other. It's the Holy Spirit at work within us that will enable us to fully enter into all that God has for us and longs for us. So stop measuring up and start being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Three things this morning. Three things that I hope might just help some of us to overcome this battle. Do you know, God doesn't want us to be focused on measuring up. Right at the beginning, we heard already, we don't measure up, and he sent Jesus to die for us. What have we got to do? We've got to believe in him. He doesn't call us to measure up. He calls us to believe in him. But when you find yourself in those moments, comparison to others, comparing to others, trying to measure up, find yourself saying, well, I'm not as good as them. I need to be like that. You do not. And in those moments, let's start to look up and fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's soak up his word and what he says about us. And let's be filled up with the Holy Spirit. I wonder if we might. We're going to sing in a moment. We're going to sing this great song of Who You Say I Am. Because it's declaring who he says we are, which is in here. I don't need to measure up. I'm a child of God. I'm chosen. I'm accepted. I'm loved. And that's you too. Don't sit there and think, it's not me though. It is for you. That's what he says for you. I'm going to pray over us, and then we're going to sing this great song. Father God, I want to thank you this morning that you are not asking us to measure up. You don't want us to be people trying to measure up to something else. None of us measure up. And that's the beautiful thing of grace. God, I thank you for your grace that you sent Jesus to die for each one of us. And because of that, we know this morning who we are, that we are children of God, that we are chosen, that we're accepted, that we're forgiven. But God, I want to pray for each one of us. Father God, I pray that at the same time there's this battle, this battle that many of us face of feeling we have to try to measure up. And Father God, I pray right now that with this battle, that you will just help us to keep our eyes fixed up on Jesus. Oh, may we keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. May we stick close to you. May we soak up your word. And may we daily be filled up with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you bring us freedom. Will you guide us, lead us, enable us to walk in who God says we are. Help us to be a people that will look up, soak up, and be filled up. Amen.